This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking to the Heartland Festival Orchestra's David Commande. They're performing a concert tomorrow night at Five Points Washington featuring three works by Beethoven. David, always good to see you.
Great to see you too.
And every season you do one of the Beethoven symphonies. So this year it's the sixth, the Pastoral Symphony. And I have to say, this is one of my favorites. And I think it doesn't get enough respect. And maybe that's because it comes in the shadow of the fifth symphony. You know, it's the next symphony. But what do you like about this one?
Well, I've come to love every one of these symphonies so much. But obviously they're Beethoven. But each one has these qualities which are in both relate to Beethoven but are unique. And this one, of course, is so famous because of the reason it was nicknamed the Pastoral. In this case, this is the only symphony for which Beethoven published a program. There are comments that he published with the score about the content of these movements. So, for example, the first movement is Happy Feelings Awake as We Arrive in the Country, meaning the countryside, and which Beethoven loved dearly. So that's a subtitle to the first movement. The second movement subtitle is Seen by the Stream. The third movement, and the fourth and the fifth, by the way, because they're played uninterrupted, each have their own subtitle as well, the third being A Happy Gathering of the Country Folk in the Countryside. And then it is in that the end dances, and it's interrupted by a storm. And then the subtitle of the final movement is Thankful Feelings After the Storm Has Passed. So there you have it from Beethoven. Now, when he published these, he said more a description of feelings than actual tone painting. So Beethoven, he backed off in a way from saying this symphony depicts A, B, C, D, E, and F. And then he went ahead and he depicted A, B, C, D, E, and F, even to the extent of including birdsong at the conclusion of one of these movements. And in the score indicating that it is the quail and the nightingale and the cuckoo. So that's a fascinating thing. And then above and beyond that is the fact that even though Beethoven portrays so much realism, each movement fits into a classical symphonic form. So you still have a sonata allegro, you still have a dance form, you still have a song form, and you still have a kind of a rondo in the ending. So this is unique among all the nine symphonies, and I will add one more thing, and that is that its pace is wondrously easy. It doesn't hurry. And you can imagine, even back in the beginning of the 1800s, Beethoven loved to escape the city into the country. And as we were just saying before we got together now, things go so fast and they go so loud in our lives. We all love the country, but even 200 years ago, that was the fact with a city dweller. So this symphony allows us to literally and figuratively visit that mindset and experience of being in the country. And of course, right after the Fifth Symphony. Now, and this symphony literally was premiered in the identical concert as the Fifth Symphony that you mentioned. So it may be in the shadow, but in a way, it's a twin brother of the Fifth. Only fraternal. Definitely not identical.
You were talking about how the symphony is programmatic and that each of the movements is sort of depicts a scene. Was that sort of unusual at this point in musical history? Because if you think about a lot of, say, the Mozart and Haydn symphonies, they're not really trying to tell a story. They're about themselves. So is this a little bit of an innovation on Beethoven's part?
It was and it wasn't. You had programmatic music well before Beethoven, already with Vivaldi, the famous Four Seasons violin concertos, and there was plenty of other music which would bring in bird calls or other realistic sounds or depictions, but it was extremely uncommon in the symphonic form. And so in that regard, it was fearless and typical of Beethoven as being unlike anything that his contemporaries were doing.
And you have three guest stars that are used to playing duos, but they're coming together at your request. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Well, you could almost say, given the World Series season, we have a triple play on a triple header here, because we have three works of Beethoven on the program, and we have three soloists in a single concerto. Elena Orioste and Nick Kanellakis and Michael Brown are amazing musicians, and they are terrific chamber musicians, but this particular combination of the three of them had not existed. But I was in conversation with their manager, and we were exploring possibilities for the triple concerto because I had the work in mind for this program. And when I knew what I learned about these three artists, I said, well, what about the three of them in combination? And when the idea was floated, they were thrilled and intrigued, and it has turned out to be a great combination. And, you know, they just arrived in town last night, but I am so excited that we are premiering them as a trio. They're going to go beyond our concert with them. They're going to perform and give master classes at ISU early the following week. Next week. And then they're going on up to Ravinia, where they have a performance, and another one of their official premieres as a trio. Then they're taking that identical concert program and coming back to Eureka College here on November 2nd in the afternoon at 3 p.m. at Becker Auditorium. And they're going to play that recital here for us. And they're playing Beethoven Archduke, one of the greatest piano trios. Everybody, piano, violin, and cello. That's what's called a piano trio. It's so easy to forget. So, Beethoven Archduke, Shostakovich Trio, and the incredible Ravel Trio. So this is like, I don't know what example you could, but for that combination of instruments, these are three of the greatest works ever written. So in our region, you know, I'm really proud. First of all, they came together partly through my offices, and now they're making the tour.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the piece itself. This is the triple concerto, so it's a concerto for piano, violin, and cello. And I'm sure it's not the only one, but it's certainly, I would say, the best known. It's certainly the one that I'm the most familiar with. Was there something unusual about that particular combination?
Well, it is pretty much unique. I mean, there have been others that kind of imitate it. It certainly was the first, and it is the one important triple concerto for that combination of instruments. And in my mind, it is unique in the way it combines Beethoven's mastery in the chamber music realm, and for this particular combination of instruments, and then over against the fourth voice, so to speak, in this piece, which is the orchestra. So you have chamber music, but it's cubed. It's chamber music to the ninth, in a way, to have the orchestra there with these three instruments. Although among musicians, to be honest, sometimes they may nickname it as Beethoven's cello concerto. Not to in any way downgrade the roles of the violin and the piano, because they are incredibly demanding parts and very important in the work and so forth. But Beethoven, almost every case, he'll introduce a theme in the cello. And the cello is living up in the absolute highest treble register of the instrument. And folks may not know, but that, of course, I know as a cellist, we read in bass clef and tenor clef, which is a middle clef, and treble clef. But the cello part is almost all the time in the treble clef in this work. And you need a master like Nick to come in and play that part. It's amazing.
Now, you've talked with us in the past about working with a soloist in a concerto where you're trying to balance the soloist and the orchestra. When you have three solo instruments, how does that change the dynamic? Does it make that work sort of happen in three different pieces, or does it add new dimensions to it? You have to balance the piano and the cello and the orchestra. How does that change the dynamic for you?
Well, my role from the point of view of balance has more to do with balancing the orchestra and the trio in the room where we will perform. So at Five Points Washington, my big responsibility is to get my ears out into the hall and hear how not only they relate to one another, but how their individual and collective sound relates to the volume of the voices inside the orchestra. So that's my umpire role, that part of a referee role in conducting this. But otherwise, in terms of personalities and artistically interacting with the soloist, which in this case has three parts, the trio arrives with a pretty strong conception of the flow of the piece. And in a way, I'm going to have my typical artistic interaction and conversation with the trio and their concept of the piece. But it tends to, this portion of my job is never burdensome for me. I enjoy that interaction with the soloist. In this case, there's three of them. And I find it creative because my preconceptions of the piece and even the solo parts is enriched. And in many cases, I go places I didn't expect because of their ideas about the music.
of these three pieces, is there a sentimental favorite for whatever purpose or meaning in your life that it means more to you to perform this one?
Well, honestly, there is not on this particular program, but I'll say, full disclosure, if I had one, I wouldn't give it away, probably. So we mentioned and honor, we always have a community partner on our program, and this time it's the Richard L. Owens Hospice Home at OSF, or the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home. And I had the honor and privilege of going to visit there, and I played some cello there. And I have to say, I was so impressed by the way they care for their patients, and then amazed also to learn that there are only four such facilities in the state of Illinois. I have no idea why that is. Other states, there are 30, 40, 50 of them. In Illinois, they've only authorized 12, and there are only four so far. So it's really special that we have one here, and they do great work for folks who are facing the end of life, and they take expert care but also give a really warm home for those folks.
That's David Commande, Artistic Director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra, talking about their concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
The fifth annual Dan Fogelberg Tribute Concert is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It celebrates the 40th anniversary of Fogelberg's signature album, Souvenirs. And the women's barbershop group, Heart of Illinois Chorus, presents Treble in Paradise at the ICC Performing Arts Center on Sunday at 2:30. Lots playing in the Peoria area this weekend, Nathan.
And Suzette Trinity Lutheran Church is presenting a concert of lute music from the 16th and 17th centuries, performed by Alan Williams and George Moss. The concert is part of their Trinity Concert Series. It's Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
And you can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you go to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.